Father, we are grateful for to be here today, and we appreciate, Lord, the joy, your goodness, your mercy towards us, that you have given us this life in Jesus Christ, and that we could gather in this manner, sitting under your feet, Lord, and come into thy presence. We thank you, Father, for giving us this gift in Christ Jesus, that we are part of the family of God. And we pray, Father, this morning as you approach thy word once again, just cut us through, Father, in the knowledge of thy word and things that, Lord, you have done, to know your purpose and your plan, O Lord, and why you do these things. And that those things that we learn, Father, out of thy holy book, and that we are truly, Lord, treasure and hide in our hearts, Lord, that we may not sin against thee. As we journey on, Father, to see our Lord Jesus as coming to take his bride. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we commit this time to you. Amen. All right, where we left off, we like to continue with eternity and time. And we are still in the second part, we're rather on the beginning. Last week we... What is happening now again? Press my laptop. Press what? Function key and what? Oh, I thought the computer is supposed to be automatic. The XP thing. I thought the XP thing was supposed to be automatic. So, I'm a bit dumb on this connection thing, you know. I thought XP is supposed to sense everything, alright? Last we left off regarding the beginning. We left off with while we talk about the I Am. God does not exist as God, because God is an object of worship. And before there was anything ever exists, we know that there was just the Almighty Spirit, as we all know. And He counseled with Himself. He purposed in Himself what He wanted to do. And then He came forth to create. There are a couple of verses of Scripture that we want to look to. And I feel that it is important for us to look at these Scriptures, that we can really be grounded in it and have this revelation and understanding. For those, especially the young ones, because you are in this fellowship, and I want you to understand about your Creator, because we all have a relationship with Him, and we have to stand before Him and give an account of our life on this earth. Amen? So I want you to know what the Bible reveals, or what God reveals about Himself in His own Word. That we do not need to have the opinion of men. What people said about, oh, God being three and four and through and whatever. The Bible will speak for itself. As when it comes to God, God emphasized time and time again as to His being. Alright, the book of Isaiah chapter 40. The book of Isaiah chapter 40. And we read from verse 12. Now, when God began, or we will say, we will not use the word God as yet, because He hasn't created anything yet, okay? So we use the word Yahweh. Alright? In the word, if you find in your Bible, whenever you find the word, capital L-O-R-D, all in capital. These four letters are all in capital. If you find it Lord, it means Yahweh, or that is to say, Hayah, I exist. That's why the word Jehovah is coined out of this word, Hayah, or Yahweh. Alright, I Am. That is to say, is Hayah, I exist. So before there was ever God or Yahweh being worshipped as yet, He cannot be called God. You got it? Alright. So, let us look into here in chapter 40, verse 12 to 14. Here is Him beginning to reveal Himself. Alright. Who have measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, that is referring to Yahweh, and measured out heaven with the span, and comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure, and weigh the mountain in scale, and the hills in a balance? Who have directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, have taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Now nobody obviously have taught God. Who have taught Him this? Who have, you know, guide Him to in the creation of the, bring about all these things? There is none. Here is a good question, because that is where the prophet Isaiah, how did the Spirit of God move him to bring this out to the people of Israel, to make them known about their own God? Verse 18. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto Him? The workman meted out a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and cut silver chains. He that is so improvised that he have no obligation, chose a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshopper that stretch out the heavens as a curtain, and spread them out as a tent to draw in. Now here tells us this, that when God brought forth the earth, He sits upon the circle of the earth. It tells us automatically that the earth is round. Remember, this book was written before ever science ever discovered that the earth was round. Right? And comparing himself, or that is to say, Isaiah compared God, who is like unto God, as one would take gold or something and fashion an image. Or take a tree that will not rot, a good tree. You know, you can preserve that, can last for a long time. And fashion into an idol or a god or an image that cannot be moved. Now this is a good comparison, and especially those of you who comes from, maybe, I don't know whether your background is, your family background, ancestral background is from paganism. Now you're still thinking that perhaps that all those idols that they worship, those deities they worship are real. Think about it for a moment. Whether it's a piece of paper that is drawn of a figure of a person in worship, likened unto whatever, an elephant or a peacock, those things cannot be real. Or you take a metal and fashion it. Like you see that in many temples in Singapore. You know, you make a statue made of gold. Or anything that's made of wood, which is commonly seen in Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, in China, even in India, full of a special stone statue of their deities. Those are images, those are deities that cannot be moved, they are fastened. As the Bible said, you know, eye sees not, ear hears not. And even they have legs, but they walk not. They sit there on an altar day by day. And it's a God that you can carry with you everywhere you go. That's the way it is, isn't it? But the Bible here declares for sure that the God is a spirit. You cannot liken Him to anything at all. Verse 25 to 26. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Say the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who have created these things. They bring out their hosts by number. He called them all by names by the greatness of His might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. Now that is, I am Yahweh. Haya, I am. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Now that is one of the things we want to say is that in Christianity, of course, in Catholicism, especially even in some of those very orthodox and traditional, you know, Christian denomination, they do have idols sometimes, like the Catholic Church. They have graven images of baby Jesus or the black Nazarene or whatever. And of course they have it, even a statue of Mary, images of Mary. Some very ancient Syrian denomination group. They have some kind of altar, some kind of images too. And you know, the Lord says here, none of my praise to graven images. How could people just create image and liken it to God as this and that and start to praise Him? I'm the Lord. Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 11. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He, or the word I am will do, or I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, just to make you understand this, you are my witnesses, said the Lord, he says here, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed. Now, when we look at this chart here, we look at this Logos, the word that came out. The word that came out of the I Am. When it comes out of the I Am. You know, you say, what about this, Brother Gan? Is it not God being formed? Isn't it? Because in the book of John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the Word is the Logos of God. You understand that God is Spirit. Now He could create anything, but before He ever did that, He counseled with Himself. Now everything that He counseled with Himself were unspoken, or were not brought forth as yet. It's everything within Himself. Within His great mind. So now in order to reveal Himself, He must come forth in a form to create a visible world. So He must come forth in a visibility to create a visible world. And that is His own choosing. After His own counseling, He chose to hide Himself in light. Bible says God is light. He dwells in light. And He chose to hide Himself. He chose to remain invisible. So the only way that He wants to be visible to a visible creation, He has to come forth in a visible form. Do you understand that? And in order to, as He began to reveal Himself, He brought Himself forth in a visible form called the Word. That's why the Bible is very specific. And it is one of the most difficult verses of scripture for many to understand. In Trinitarian teaching, they say in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was Jesus. Now the Bible never said that. The Bible said the Word was God. The Word was not Jesus. Got it? So when we talk about the Word of the Lord, we're always referring to His revelation. Something that He revealed, He chose to reveal. So if God revealed Himself to Moses in a pillar of fire, he had a pillar of fire burning there, or a burning bush, so to speak, and He chose to speak out of that burning bush. So when you see a burning bush, now you don't say that's God, that isn't God. You understand that? God hides Himself in that place to speak to Moses. That burning bush only shows the presence of God as He speaks from there. God could speak to you from the corner of a room. Huh? He could speak to you in the form of an angelic being. So that is the way that God could present Himself, His presence, in the form of a theophany. And the theophany is always in the same form of likeness that we all know, that it looks like us. Because we were created in that likeness. It cannot be any other way. If God is going to have a family, every one of us must have the same visible feature. So the very first thing that God taught about Himself, of having a relationship with creation, He has a theme. Now let's use the word theme, or as a theme of the Bible, so to speak. As I told you, that The center of the theme of the Bible is actually situated in this core seat called the Word. And this Word is always manifest in the person called Jesus Christ. The center theme is all about this seed of God. Now, God chose to redeem Himself in that form. And there is, as the Bible said, we don't question God. Why do you make me task like that? Why is this thing like this? But that's God's way of choosing to do it. And that's why we believed that if there is no seed, there's nothing propagated. Got it? So, when God wanted to have a family, He must have a seed. And that's why in His counseling, He have a thought, He have a plan in which that this Logos, or this word that comes out to create, will be the beginning of the creation of God. That's why in the book of Revelation, about Jesus Christ being the beginning of the creation of God. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. You are following me on that? Alright. So when this Logos came out, or the word that came out of God, it came out of God in the visible form and said, let there be light, and there was light. So this is not God forming God. God just come out in the form of a body that is visible. And the Word was God. So God, Jesus said, I came from God, I go back to God. Everything, remember one thing, every life on this earth, every animals, every creature that has, that breathe in the, through the nostril, is a spirit of life given. So every animal that died, the spirit returns back to God. That life returns back to God. The one who gave it, the life returns back to God. Whether you, be it a dog, a cat, or an elephant, and be it a man or woman, or a criminal or not, everyone who died, the life returned back to God. Jesus said, I came from God, I go back to God. Do you understand that? So this word that came out of God to create goes back to God as well. So He comes out to create, it goes in me. So the Word and the Spirit, they are one. They are not two. You understand that? Now, if you take an example, assuming that now you have something in your mind, you wanted to create something. You want to make something. Until you make it, nobody knows what you have counseled within yourself. What you have planned to do, what you have purpose to do. So when we see what you make, then that is the revelation of your thought. Got it? Now in God's way of doing things, it is very similar to that. God counsels with Himself, but He must bring forth the Logos in a visible form. From here, He takes it as a seed to where everything will be created. And this is called the Christ. And the Christ, I said this many times, is not Jesus. I want you to remember this. When the Bible used the word Christ, it does not always point to Jesus. Christ means the anointing. The anointed one, or the one who anoints. Or the flow of God's anointing coming out of Him upon someone. Christ means the anointing or the revelation. That's one of the things, you know. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. It takes God to reveal and open it to Peter for Peter to be able to see. You understand that? So this Logos is that anointing that flows out of God. The way the brother Bam said, you know, he says, you know, what I see is like, there's this Yahweh the Spirit, you know. And then suddenly I see a spark of light coming out. You know, and says that that's the anointing. That's the Word, that's the Christ. You see? And that's the beginning of God revealing Himself now. If God doesn't flow out to reveal Himself, if we will not be here, there will be no creation, nothing. Got it? Alright. Let's go there. If you have the verses 45, chapter 45 and verse 7. I formed the light. Chapter 45, verse 7. I formed the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now God identified himself straight away. Eh? Everything that is in this world, good or bad, all traced back to him. Do you understand? But one thing for sure, when God says, I create the light and I create darkness, I make peace and create evil, it doesn't mean directly that he says, okay, I'm gonna create a person to be an evil person. Alright? He didn't. But every source of what happened in the garden, why was there Satan? Well, God can choose not to create him. Right? Again, we always ask this question. If God knows that Lucifer is going to fall, why should he create him? We should not have created him. Well, we can always ask God and always question God. And there will be 1,001 answer, 1,001 question that demands answer. But the thing I said is for sure, God intends to have a family. But he is not going to have a family of robots. Do you get it? Even angels. He doesn't want angels to fly around his throne and say, holy, holy, and worshipping God like a robot. Everyone they think that God created in his own image and likeness must have a choice. He gives them the choice. And knowing that when he gives them the choice, anything can happen. That's for sure. Well, just like your children, huh? Give them $100 and see what they will do with it. That's their own choice. They can do whatever they want with the $100. See? So God gave us the choice. God gave man the choice. God gave the angels the choice. He saw that from the beginning. And he knew what's going to happen. But you see one thing, God is not going to stop it. Because out of that, God is going to get a people he wanted. Huh? And you know it's not going to be evil. They're going to be wickedness, safe, and so on. Otherwise, we won't be here learning about these things. For sure, we won't be here. There will be no creation if God say, oh, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I don't know whether you feel like being a robot worshipping God automatically. Ever wonder about it? Huh? Get up in the morning, praise the Lord, and then automatically you know everything, just praise the Lord, you know. And then you don't think no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil thing, you know, every day nobody speak no evil. The whole world is very nice, everybody praise the Lord, yeah, praise the Lord, and you do things and we'd be like robots. You know, our mind, we want track mind. We don't know what's good, what is bad. We just do it. You know, there's automation. You know, ever seen a factory? It's automated. You ever see a robotic arm that builds cars? And you know, so wow. Man, that's it. And I don't think that is what God wants. God wants a variety. That's why we have varieties. We have different kind of colored roses. We have different kind of birds, animals, dogs. Certain kind of different varieties of dogs. And certainly, we don't want our children to all look the same. And God wants variety, and that's what's so interesting about this whole thing. We all want variety too. Do you want to eat chicken rice every day? You won't want to eat chicken rice every day. You want different kind of food. And you know what? I can imagine one thing. When we get to heaven and see the Lord and we see all kinds of people, I can tell you we have a long, long eternity of time to talk about, you know, the variety that God has and the different things, you know. If everything is the same, I tell you one thing, it's boring. If all the houses are built with straight lines, and all the cars look the same. So think about these things that God, when He counsels in Himself, when He purposes Himself to do what He wants, there is no questioning Him. He has a plan. And He has a purpose. And all things work together, evil, peace, darkness, light, all things work together for good to them that love God. Because it's God's purpose. Or you might think about what's going on in the Middle East today. I'm just watching that this thing, whether it will escalate to fulfill Isaiah chapter 17:1, whether it will continue to escalate. Alright? Where Iran will really become really involved. And then the whole world will have to come in, and it will be, might be the last of the third, or the third world war, we will see. They're bringing all the nations involved, superpower. God has dealt with this all these years, and that's why He's telling to Isaiah. But has Israel forgotten their God? They have not. Only they have not come to the revelation of the Messiah. Because there are some Jews that they believe in Christ, they are believers. But majority of Israel, just a majority of the world, of the people of the world, they don't see and they don't recognize Christ as the Messiah. And we have a population of about 20% Christian. And I can tell you this, 20% Christian, many of them are not born again. Do you understand? Just as was reported in the paper, a Christian man, ex-Christian, what he posts on his blog, on the net, a cartoon of Jesus Christ as a zombie, biting the head of a young boy. Why? He was an ex-Christian. Now he makes fun of Jesus Christ. How terrible that can be. And Lawrence talked about a friend of his, 20 years serving the Lord. And said he wasted the 20 years. He can be using the 20 years for better thing. Maybe make money. This 20 years you served the Lord, what were you doing? Like a robot. You're serving the Lord. No. I don't think he had the revelation. And there are a lot of Christians who don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's scary. Because of this message that God gave us, they don't have a revelation of this message of what it's all about. You know? If you don't have a revelation of who Christ is, that means you have no proper relationship with Him. Everything you act is a religion. It becomes a religious thing. It's sad, but I know there are believers in this entire message now, like here in Singapore. The sisters have long hair. Just let the hair flow down. Everywhere she go, just let the hair straight down. Not burn up, not tied up, not plaited up. Because they believe that the hair must be let loose. Everywhere you go, let loose. I don't want to get a revelation from it. It's not a revelation. It's a religious thing. What did they get that? Maybe they said the Bible said long hair. Well, long hair doesn't mean that let loose. But they have that religious act. And I said this many times, don't be religious. Be spiritual enough to know what God's plan and purpose is. And the Bible has declared, I am. There's no other, no one else before me. None. And you need to know who He is. And the Bible is very clear. Everything that happened in this world, good or bad, don't take it on God. When good thing comes your way, you're happy. When bad thing comes your way, you get angry and upset. You see, God is always dealing with our life to come to that place to know that He is in control. Good or bad, let me tell you one thing. Sooner or later, we're all going to go. Isn't it? If it's not sooner, it's still there. Of course, isn't it? Judge our brother Christopher. You know how he suffered with that, you know, affliction. Well, he still keep on going. Oh, he wants to be later. Everybody wants to go later. So we all look for the coming of the Lord. And we all look for the coming of the Lord. I can tell you, this is what we all look for. You know, years after years, how long, Lord, are you going to, you know, tarry? Won't you come sooner? So get us all out of here in this whole mess of the world. But yet we see the world, it just, the stage is not really sad yet. You know, back in the 70s, we think that, oh, the rapture, we always in the denomination, we always think about the rapture going to take place anytime. But we know that it's not true. The world must come to a place where it fulfills the scriptures. And it will be signs of the time where the believers, being watchful, the Bible said, be watchful, be watch and pray. Watchfulness and be in supplication. And this is what we are always looking at. And that's why we watch out for one another. We pray for one another. We admonish one another. We edify one another. When we see something, we warn the brothers or sisters, the family, such a thing is coming. See? Alright? Isaiah 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that you may be light? That's the thing about it. People like to compare with God something just because of the way he wants God to be like this. Verse 9, 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasures. And you cannot change that. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. After all, he sees the future already. He said, okay, that is what's going to happen. It's what it's going to be. Right? And he let this thing be because why? His plan and the purpose is to have a family. So don't let those things worry you. Those things are the engines to bring us, you know, make us conform to the image of the Son. Now if there is no pressure from outside, do you think our character is shaped? How is our character shaped? Our character is always shaped by outside forces too. You talk about nature and nurture. You all know that, don't you? Oh, sure, partly nature. But you know one thing, nature is one thing. I'm born in this family, I'm like father, like son thing. Okay? Like mother, like daughter thing. Right? Of course, isn't it? Chicken come from chicken, you know? Chicken don't come from duck. And so if that is so true than nature, but you know what? Wherever you go, it's the nurture. One thing the nature will tell you what you are. That the eagles, the little eagle in the chicken yard. The nature is that he's an eagle. But the trouble is that he was hatched up there in this chicken yard. And of course he was a bit confused. He will be confused. Until one day he heard the mama eagles cry. He said, hey, that sounds familiar. And likewise the same. You see, God looks down, he knows. He heard from the beginning, and he wants a family. He already seen everything. Right? And you know what? He put a thirst in those that will come. That's why there is a deep color to the deep. He put a thirst in your heart, in your spirit. Huh? He said, I don't belong here in this earth. Now I have been in this gospel for 40 over years now. Huh? I have been in the ministry for 30 over years now. Suddenly, one day I tell Brother Lawrence, you know, what is 30 over years now? What am I doing, man? Sounds terrible, wasn't it? This is what am I doing here? I have moved over from my career to be a nurse or whatever I wanted. I just moved there because God was joining me. And I believe one thing, if you're a child of God, God always draws you to Him. God is always guiding you in the way He wants you to go. You see? But if you seek to do it, it's a different thing. Huh? So I want to be a preacher, I want to be a missionary. If God doesn't call you, it isn't God. Nothing will work. You understand that? If God is not in building the church, and you build it, it's not going to work. Amen? Alright. Let's go to the book of Corinthians 15. Here, for those who, for those who are believing in the Trinity, or who doesn't understand what we read early on, that I'm God and there's no God form. The Bible is very clear about it. There is but one God and there's no God form. And when the word that came out of God, it isn't the second one of the Trinity. Do you understand that? So we look at 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28. Here it's very specific. That if we have a God, or we should say Godhead, that composed of three beings, or three spirits, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being three different ones, that means we don't have a God. We actually have a united God. That's what I always told them, the Trinitarian. I said, you don't worship a God, you worship a united God. I mean, we have the meat. And when you tell, if you would ever tell your Trinitarian friend openly like this, they get a bit, puzzled down, and maybe they get a bit irritated sometime, you know. So, you don't understand. You know, how can you comprehend God? What if you tell me that Father and Son and Holy Spirit are all equal? Each one of them is equal, they're all gods. That means it is not one God. Okay, since you say you don't believe in three gods, okay, but then all these three are united in one. That means your God is a united God. One united God. Got it? So we have one united nation in the world, right? One united nation. Correct? But they are all how many? So you have united Godhead. You see, the fact is that if Jesus Christ is really God, being equal with the Father as two different beings, then 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28 will be wrong. Very wrong. Then cometh the end, when Christ have delivered up the kingdom to God, that is the Father, when He shall have put down all rules and all authority and purpose. For Christ must reign till He put all enemy under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For God hath put all things under His feet, Jesus' feet. And when God said all things are put under Christ, Jesus, it is manifest that God is accepted, which He put all things under Him, of course, isn't it? Huh? He's the exceptional one, but after all, He put all authority under the feet of Jesus. And when all things shall be subjected unto God, then shall the Son also Himself be subjected unto God, that put all things under Him, the God we all know. No, I don't think that's difficult to understand. Then cometh the end. So, one of these days, all things must come to an end. Then Christ Himself who have all the authority and power from God to put all things under subjection under His feet. God is not included. Of course, that's what the Bible says, He's accepted. Then when He put all things, and when the death is conquered and everything put under, then the Bible says, He will put all authority back. Christ will give all the authority back to God who gave it to Him. And then He, Christ Himself, will be subjected unto God. When you say you subject to somebody, how could you be greater and equal to the person? Can you? When you are subjected to somebody, how can you be equal with a person? If you have a company, you start a company with a friend, 50-50%, who is subject to who? Nobody. You have equal share, you have equal, well, discussion, whatever it is. But if someone who have a share of 65%, or even 55%, 1% more than the other, he has the biggest say. Right? And when you come to join a company, you come to work as a secretary, or you come to work as somebody, under somebody, you can never be equal with him. You are subjected to him. Am I not right? In the army, isn't it so? The sergeant is subjected to the major and the commander, whatever is up there. The private is subjected to the sergeant. He says, hey, look, I have three stripes. I have three stripes. And you only have none, or maybe one, or two. Then you're still under me. That's a fact. So if Christ is subjected unto God, how could he be equal with the Father? He cannot be equal with the Father. My son is not equal with me, huh? Is he? Is he equal with me? He's my son. Do you get it? And when we look at this, how can you have this doctrine that don't make any sense? Now let's go to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. Now, like this verse. You can always circle a big verse, you know, if you like, in the Bible. Highlight it with all the colors. Make it stand out. Huh? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. The secret. All that which God has hid in His heart. All that He planned. Huh? Wouldn't you like to know it? Sure. That's what Paul in the book of Ephesians is talking about. You know, praying for the Spirit. Revelation, you know, in the knowledge of Him. And Paul says, I will not, you know, hesitate to declare to you the whole counsel of God. You see. And Paul is a man who reverend God. Fear God means to reverend Him. And God revealed Himself to Paul. And showed Paul a whole lot of things. You know what Jesus told the disciple? I no longer call you my servant. I call you my friend. I said on Friday, it's one thing to be a servant. It's another thing to be a friend. There are a lot of people, a lot of ministers, they are just servant of God. Servant of God. Servant of God. But they are never God's friend. Or never a friend of Christ. You know why? Because many of them are just busy with their own program. They have no time to really listen to God. Or listen to Christ. They just want to serve. Like martyr. You know? Serve. And how can you ever be a friend? A friend is when somebody can sit down and talk and fellowship. You see? And that's what Mary is. Sitting down beside the Lord and listen. And that's what Jesus said. I call you no longer my servant, I call you my friends. Because a servant, a master never reveals secrets to his servant. But a friend does. Huh? And that's what he says, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Here we have the whole chapter here. We're not going to read them all. But there are some certain specific verses of scriptures here that make us to realize about the beginning of God's, in His beginning of the creation. Let us look at the chart first anyway. So we have Acts 15:8. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Or what we read earlier in Isaiah, know the end from the beginning. Isaiah 44 verse 6, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And that is specific. Huh? Specific. There's no way that you can alter that. I know not nobody else. There's no God before me. There's no God after me. There's no God form. No, I'm He. That's it. I'm Yahweh. I am. Haya. I am the self-existing one. There's no other. And then, of course, when He began to counsel with Himself, as we said, in the book of Ephesians, after counseling Himself, that's why we have John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word here, the word revelation. The Logos means the Word revelation. The revealing of God now comes out. God can counsel with Himself, but He doesn't want to reveal Himself. There is no Logos. There is no revelation. We won't be here. Then He revealed Himself. When He revealed Himself, He appeared in a form that is visible. And we will call that theophany. The Bible calls it the Word, which is in the form of a visible, is a visible form. Now the Word that I speak to you here now is visible only in the sense that you can hear it and understand what I'm saying. Right? But the way that when the Bible talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was God. This Word that came out of God to manifest, it comes form in the form of a visible form. Got it now? Isaiah 43:13. Yeah, before the day was, I am He. Before time began, I am He. And you know what time began? Time began when the Logos come out. You got it? Alright, think for a minute now. Before anything exists, there was eternity. There was no time. No time, nothing whatsoever, just Yahweh. He comes up with Himself, nothing starts. No creation come out of Him. Nothing. So there is no time. Time has not started. The moment the Logos comes out of God, that's the beginning of the creation of God. Now God comes out to create, as you say, He planted that seed. He takes the seed word to manifest. Now, you know what? God counseled everything in His mind, okay? Just a swimmer. He could just, boom, say a word, boom, whatever. And everything can just, boom, comes out in an instant. You know what I mean by instant? Hop, everything instant. It's all there. If He could do it, couldn't He? He could. But that's not the way God works. That's what we have today. We have things that the seed comes out, you plant the seed, the root comes, grows down, the corydon comes out, and the tassel comes out, and still coming up, and then become a tree. Then you get flowers, you get fruits, you get seeds. That's the way God works. God intended to have that. Everything have a process. Of course, the very beginning, when He created man, He doesn't create Adam how can He create Adam a matured person? Everything is not matured first. Huh? Then you have the seed. Because God Himself was already matured. He's everything. Then He produced a seed word that steps out and then produced. So when He created mankind, on this earth, physical man must be matured. Then within him contains that seed. Do you understand that? So the chicken comes first and not the egg. So there was always the Almighty God or Yahweh first. Or else there won't be anything. He is the sum total of life existing. Then He brought forth the Word. Then everything starts. So that's why we call that the seed word, Logos. The revelation of God now unfolds itself, a little at a time, like a Roman candle. Do you understand? Not pop, everything comes out as seed. That's what Brother Mike would want you to think. If brother me have not seen, all they have to do is to speak to the dust. And Abel will stand up, a doubt. Speak to the dust, Seth will stand up, a doubt. When a daughter call her Sarah, Sarah will stand up, a doubt. Everything is a doubt. But then all the animals are not. And what kind of harmony is there? There is no pattern. When God does something, well, He is very specific in detail when it comes to creation. Only man would tamper with those things. Got it, huh? Alright. So we look at the word that came out from God, from the I Am, was the beginning of the creation of God. The eternal self-existing one is one spirit, not three spirits, no, three in one spirit. He is the Lord God and the Father of all. And all the various Bible verses show us that. Hear, O Israel, I'm the Lord. I am the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Very specific on that. Okay? So, now we look into 104 Psalms. Here is a description of God's preservation of nature. Because when He bring about the creation, He has a purpose of what He's doing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covered Thyself with light as with a garment. Now, that's what God is. God dwells in light. He covered Himself with light. You know what light is? Well, you think that when you say light, this is light. We will say light like this. Sunlight, moonlight, lamplight, street light, whatever light. Huh? You see? But light is anything that is bright. Whether you have any light or not, sometimes you see, people think that the cosmic light is a source, nobody knows where it comes from. If you go out there in the universe, if you fly like Superman, you can fly like Superman. If not, you take Columbia on a space trip out into space. Eh? How come you see those? How come you in space is too light? Or you say the stars is there and all this thing. Huh? Shut up those stars and you still have light. Because there is a source of cosmic light that scientists couldn't understand where it comes from. Because the Bible is clear that God is light. So what form is it light? A burning bright thing, whatever it is, like a fire, whatever you think, some sort of song. Huh? So in that, just imagine God Himself is light. He lights up. And He chose to dwell in light. Okay? Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Now I want you to think about now because we're looking at creation. Before ever anything exists, there was this spirit. What about space? Is that space? Can your mind comprehend that? I can't. Huh? How big was the universe then? What was the universe already there? Well, how, when God was or is in the eternity, the I Am, why was He in space? Many times I just let my mind try to figure that out. You know, He just come. Huh? Then when God began to come forth and create, He stretched the universe like a curtain. This way, this way. How far is the universe? How far is the universe? Through a super beam of light that goes how many miles per second? And then let it travel there and just wait for it to return back. How far is the space? Oh, let's say this room is the universe. You come to a wall. That's it. The curtain stretches from there to there. And here in this room, the little particle of dust is the earth. Huh? There are many particle of dust in the universe, so to speak, all those stars and all those planets, the galaxy, they don't crash against each other. And all those display that you have, the supernova and asteroid hitting other planets, that's God for display. God enjoy having some firework. That's God enjoying it. But how far is the universe? And you just wonder, how big is this universe? We will know the day when we come to see, when we see Christ. Then we can take a space trip, and I think God will allow us to take a space trip. I mean, certainly, Lord, we want to know your handiwork. You know? But once you get a trip out there to find how far we will get lost. And you just wonder, you know, the mighty God. And he says, who laid the beams of his chamber in the water, who made the cloud his chariots, who walk upon the wings of the wind, who make his angels spirit and his ministers a flaming fire. Now, when you, any of you using NIV here? Now, when you use NIV about this verse, when you come to verse 4, it's a terrible, terrible translation. Alright? And that's why NIV has very bad translation in many verses or many passages. It should never use for trying to understand God's truth. Alright? Now, I don't know, I can't remember how NIV read over in verse 4 and verse 4. Can you read it? You see that? Make the winds his messenger and the flaming fire his minister. You're talking the other way around. Do you understand what I'm saying? A fire is a messenger of God. A fire is a minister of God. No. God has made his minister like a flame of fire. It's a different thing. So then it's very dangerous when you use NIV. Be very careful how you use that. Who laid the foundation of the earth, they should not be removed forever. Now, laid the foundation of the earth. The earth is believed to have some foundation. But it's all broken up. Now we are moving. The Bible says it will not be moved forever. But this earth will stay. God is going to put it all things back. That's not what we have about this certain foundation. Remember one thing, when God created the earth was a solid earth that comes out of the water. God separated all the water from that, the earth. And they are all balanced on seven foundations. When the flood came, because the water came pounding on the earth, those seven foundations were loosed. And we have this seven tectonic plate or seven foundation. Pacific plate or this land plate, all these things. Yeah, that's why it came on moving and causes this earthquake. Alright? But in the days, in the future, in the new heaven and the earth, when God burn up this earth and water goes back, then the earth will become one solid earth. You understand? And you will know, you will do not have this plate moving the way it moves. You got it? Alright. Verse 6. Thou cover it with the deep as with a garment, the water stood above the mountains. The water stood above the mountains. Talk about the water stood above the mountain. Let us go right here for a moment. Here we have the earth. This black round circle above the earth is the water. The firmament above. Alright, there will be some water in this lower part, in this earth. But this one is where we have the water that shrouds it. So there's a water above the mountain. And today we still have it, but only a very small percentage. Most of the water up there has already come down to this earth and built up oceans. Alright? And I rebuilt. They fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they haste away. They go up by the mountains, and they go down by the valleys, unto the place where thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bond that they may not pass over, that they may turn not again to cover the earth. He sends thee, this is talking about, you know, how the water comes up and down, you know, evaporation and things like that. God fed the earth. He sent water into the valley. The animals are quenched, and so on. And the grass to grow in verse 14. Alright? And let's go right now as quick as we can. Verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There we go right now. Verse 30. Thou send forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renews the face of the earth. And do you know that this earth is always renewing itself? By nature, God has created it in such a way it renews itself. But you know what man does? Men always seek to overuse it. How many remember Sunkist orange? Have you ever found any Sunkist today that tastes really sweet? Can you still get those Sunkist in Singapore that's really sweet? Even in the States, I tell you some Sunkist, they were not. Once upon a time was sweet. They advertise like, oh, it's heaven when people eat it. But what happens on this land that, you know what, I believe they have overused the land. The Bible requires that the land rest every 7 years. But I don't think people who are greed for money wanted to let the land rest on the seventh year. Huh? Isn't it so? They harvest and harvest and overuse the land. If you don't let it rest for 7 years, at least for every seventh month, you let it rest a month. You have to have a cycle of seven. God's nature has such a provided that 6 days thou shalt labor, the seventh you will rest. But no, on the seventh day, a lot of people work. And then they get all stressed out with this and with that, and the body takes a toll. That's why it doesn't renew itself. And that's why it's so important for us in a society like ours, where there's so much stress, we should take time off to fellowship, steal away, or even steal away from all this hustle and bustle of life and spend time with the Lord, with the Bible, you know, listen to some gospel music and worship the Lord. We need to. If not, then we find that we'll not be able to renew ourselves. And the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His work. And we know that will be what we are looking for when the Lord finishes enjoying His work, restore all things back. Now, let us look at the creation a little bit. Having seen, of course, John 1:1, we have Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These are the only two verses of scripture that is very specific. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Alright. But before you can have the creation of the earth, something else need to be created first. When the Lord God of the world step up to create, and I believe, one of the first things that He created will have to be servants, the angelic beings, or the ministering spirits. And that's what He created. How do we know that the angel were created prior to the earth's creation? Because we know it because in the book of Genesis, we know that when Adam and Eve was created, they can see them. Isn't that right? Satan was in the Garden of Eden. But the Bible says he used the word serpent. So people don't fear that it was Satan. They might even argue about this, but you can never argue against that because the Bible is very specific. The Bible said that old serpent, he always referred to Satan. Figuratively, pointing to Satan as the one behind all the evil work. So when we look at that in the book of Genesis, we realize then that Satan must have existed prior to the existing or the creation of the earth where Adam was in. And we know it because by looking at a few verses of scriptures, let us go to the book of Job 38. Alright, the book of Job, chapter 38. And verse 4-7. Here is a God's question to Job. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who have laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sung together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Can I ask you, where were you? When God laid the foundation of the world, where were you? Declare if you have understand. So we are in the mind of God, isn't it? And remember one thing, I have my Presbyterian friend or you know, who couldn't understand deep things. Because sometimes when you are under a traditional a church and influence, it's very hard for us to really grasp the things of God away from without the influence of traditional doctrines. He said, Richard, how could you believe that you were in God before you existed? But we say here, when the sons of God shouted for joy. Huh? The Bible says, isn't it? What were you, Job, when the foundation of the world and the sons of God shouted for joy? I said, that's us. That's us. That's me. I was there. So how can it be? I said, why not? You mean that you are created already? I said, no, I'm not created yet. Then you're not created, then how can you suffer joy? I said, I was in the mind of God. Oh, you are in the mind of God. If you're in the mind of God, how can you suffer joy? I said, why can't I? Because in the eyes of God, He considered all those things that were not as though they were. You understand what I'm saying? God considered those things that were not as though they were. Now look, when Jesus died on the cross and He says, it is finished. Salvation is provided. Atonement has been provided. It is finished means it's done. So, and the only thing is whosoever could believe and come to Christ, the work is complete. Are you secure? Are you secure in Christ? Do you think that the work is finished and it's guaranteed 100%? Or is it 99.999999999%? Can it be like this? No. When God said it's finished, it's finished. It's done. But yet we have not yet come to the place where our body is changed, right? But you are certain that you will have it. Why? Because God's word stands sure. Do you have any doubt that one of these days your body will be changed? I don't know. Man, I hope so. You know, are you certain? That's the thing about it. Then God asked you, where were you? Can you believe? Even before you exist, I consider it so. I see the end from the beginning. Job, you were there when I created it. Because I saw you. You were shouting for joy because I'm bringing a plan out. And you are part of that plan. That's true. You know what? You go back to the beginning, huh? Now take your mind or your spirit back to the beginning and just think about how God is laying the foundation. It hasn't come out. God is laying the foundation. And as God sees the end from the beginning, you see what God sees. Right? Well, won't you be shouting for joy? You see, we are part of the Word of God. Brother Branham, when he speaks about this deep thing, those things are real. Then his friend says, but if we were there, how come we don't remember we were there? Huh? There are a lot of things we don't remember. What do you mean that you need to remember? You know what? One of these days when we resurrect, put in a new body, our loved one on this earth, they did not accept the Lord. Maybe it's our father or mother, our brother, our sisters, or our children, or whoever. They did not accept the gospel. They are not with us. Huh? Will you still remember all those things? Oh, where is my son? Oh, my son didn't make it. My son didn't make it. Will you be crying like this? Think about it. Oh, my daughter didn't make it. Where is my daughter? Where is Sarah? Where is Meling? You'll be asking where? Now, do you know what? Those things wouldn't be. You will not remember it. God will wipe away all tears. Those things that are not for you to know, He will wipe it away. You won't remember anybody else. They have not come to the Lord. Because your mind, if you can still remember that you have someone that did not come to the Lord, He's still paying you in heaven. So how can you not have tears? So the Bible says, wipe away all tears from your eye. Unpleasant thoughts, unpleasant things that happen in your life, He will wipe it all the way. The wrong a brother did to you, the wrong a sister did to you, He will wipe it all away. So you want to ask brothers, sisters, remember you did this to me when you were on earth? Do you know what I mean? Why would think about it? Is that alright? No, that's what I said. God, when He had paid the price for sin for you and me, Jesus has paid for it. And when Jesus had presented blood on the throne of God, when He sees the blood, He cannot see your sin. When He cannot see your sin, it is not God. You see what people say? God chose not to know. Huh? You know what I mean? We present that thought about the Godhead. God chose not to know whether you will be a believer or not. No, it's not that God chose not to know. God will always know. You understand that? So He will know your sin. But when He sees the blood, He cannot see the sin, so how can He remember? It's what the blood is there. The blood is a buffer. He cannot see. When He looks through the blood, He sees you as perfect. So how can God charge you for something that was not there? You understand that? That's why there is what we call a mediator. Someone who is willing to stand in the gap. And when I go look at it, He cannot see the fault. You see? And because of that, a change of the spirit, when we change in a new body like Jesus Christ, when we get up there, all these things will be cleared up. We will not remember all the bad things. He will take away all those tears from our eyes. And that's what we are looking for. Huh? And that's what here in the book of Job. 38 verse 4 to 7. When the morning stars shot up for sang together, and all the sons of God shot up for joy. You were there. And you know what? The sons of God are not the angels. As some people said, they are angels. And I disagree with that from the very time. And I realize that this cannot be. Denomination have two ways of interpretation. One moment the angels are sons of God. Next moment you and I are also sons of God. How can that be? Whenever you refer, when you read the Bible, sons, it means that the person have a father. Huh? And a father and son relationship. You got it? The angels are created ministering spirit. To them, God is not their father. It's the Master and Lord. Because there is no relationship with them as father and son. The Bible said they are created ministering spirits. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, take my example now. If you have a servant, a young man who works for you, well, he works for you maybe at the age of 15 years old, you know, and you were just in your 30, and he worked for you and you like him. 10, 20 years later, you know, he came out working for you and you treat him like a son. But he's still your servant. He's still your servant. Until he says, okay, I'm going to adopt you. Officially, you adopt him and he call you Papa. And then you call him son. Then you have a relationship as father and son. Do you understand that? That's what the angels don't have. Because the Bible said the angels, they were created, well, not given to marriage, and do not marry. Not that they are sexless, it's a wrong word to use, you know. In those days, oh, the angels are sexless. What do you mean by they are sexless? All angels are male. Do you know what I mean? They're all male. It's only their created spirit that they do not marry. Do you understand that? The spirit don't get married, you know. And neither in the heaven do you see female angels. No female angel in the Bible, and don't go around saying, yes, there is an angel by the name of Sarah. No. All angels are male. And they are spirit. And they cannot procreate. So when you have a time, a verse of scripture that says, sons of God, son, you know that this person can procreate. Right now, we all came from our father came from our great-grandfather. Huh? And then we have sons, and our sons will have sons at all. When you get married, that's procreation. Are you understand this now? Alright, we'll close this and we'll continue next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We enjoy, Father, Lord, again, thy word concerning the creation, concerning the beginning of time. Father, we thank you, Father, for opening up your word to us to know more of you, to know more of your plan and your purpose, Father. And we appreciate, Lord Jesus, truly that the secrets of the Lord is revealed to us. And even as much as you said to your disciples, I no longer call you my servant, I call you my friends. And as such, Lord, a friend reveals secrets to another. And I thank you, Lord, for this privilege that because you stir in our hearts to draw us close to you. Because you love us, Father, that we love you in return. You have given us this grace, Lord, to see your gospel, to see your truth, to fall in love with you, and to love you more and more each day, Lord, as you draw us close. And because of that, you've shown us your covenant. You've shown us your truth. And how precious are these things, Lord, to us, because the world is filled with darkness. And people are grouping about, Lord, in darkness and searching for truth, for life. But you have made it clear in Jesus Christ who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we see, Lord, every day we have all kinds of gods being worshipped around the world. In the different worship, place of worship. And yet they don't realize, Father, they're walking in darkness. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us here that can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus this morning and to know of this covenant of yours that you have given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we bless thy name. And we want to thank you, Lord, truly, that you open our understanding to this. And I pray, Father, that every one of us, Lord, grasps this truth, that there is but one Lord, one God. And there is one who was sent to give us eternal life, who was given to us to show the way back to you, Father, from when sins came into this world and bring man into a place of darkness. But Lord, you have reconciled us but to you through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give you all the praise and the glory this morning. We bless thy name. We thank you, Lord, and we ask for your grace that you continue to work in our life in Jesus' name. Amen.